Let's think of something real deep. Let's think of something real deep, like a well. But let's think of something deep, like a hole in the earth. My dog is always doing something deep. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy at Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Monastery, the Absolute Philosopher. Oh, that's right. I'm the Absolute Philosopher in the Absolute Monastery in the University of Philosophy. Okay. Now, my dog likes to dig holes, and he's always digging in our yard, which is designed for him. It is his area with all the bushes and trees and things there and little walkways at his height that he can walk through comfortably, and he just loves it in there. And every time I walk along, he's digging a new hole. He doesn't spend too much time at it. He's not lazy, but he's not industrious either. And he'll dig a hole and dig a hole and dig a hole, and then he'll say, I think I'll try it over here. And then I'll try it over here. And so all over this area of his yard, he has holes. Now, he doesn't have bones stuck in it because I don't give him that many bones. And he gets a bone and he demolishes it. But what is he digging for? Why is he going down into the earth? What is he trying to do? Why is this golden retriever's nature to dig? And most dogs have that nature to dig. They want to dig. What are they doing? What are they looking for when they're digging? Or is it just a matter that this is just an exercise they have? Of course, we might say, well, they're looking for rodents under the ground. They're looking for snakes. They're looking for lizards. They're looking for things that live under the ground. And they're doing this. Well, that's one thing you could say. Except there's nobody living under the ground around our place. Because he's got a hole down in every place, and they'd have to be deeper. But what are they digging for? I find it fascinating, and I feel I'm putting my foot in my mouth right now, but I find it fascinating to see people go into libraries. People go into libraries, and they want to read somebody else's mind. They want to get into the deep inner reaches of philosophy, psychology, science, and so forth. And they want to reach into the inner reaches of other people's minds. They go into the libraries and they read these wonderful books people have written about what they understand of whatever it is they're writing about. And isn't that fascinating? Isn't that delightful? Think about it. Here you are. You take the greatest mental vehicle of the world, your mind, and you go and read somebody else's mind of a conclusion that they came to on a subject that they chose to follow, and the conclusion they came to and the subject they followed was just the tip of the iceberg. It didn't get to the depth of it at all because they haven't gotten there yet. And there's no way they could write a book on that. Whereas, if we, instead of digging in somebody else's yard, in somebody else's holes, you know, were to take time to train ourselves, how wonderful it would be to have a school like this, to train ourselves to listen within. Now, we come back to old Mozart all the time. He listened within. And he had a good tuning. He had his earphones on, well tuned, and he heard the notes perfectly, and he wrote them down perfectly. He wrote them down perfect and didn't have to erase them. You see, why does anyone ever have to erase them as they're writing them down? Because they haven't trained themselves to listen intuitively within themselves. They haven't trained themselves to listen to the depth of their own being. Now, we read the story, again, of the Big Bang Theory and how magical and how mystical and how marvelous it is, and we think, wow, hey, in you is the story of another Big Bang Theory, far more exciting than any Big Bang Theory you're going to read on the outside. And you're going to live it while you're exploring it in your inner consciousness. And so you want to know, how to create a spaceship. A spaceship that is driven by mental power, you know, A spaceship that is there by the snap of your finger, by the thought of your mind, not the physical action of chemicals and minerals and stuff like that being put together to make a metal spaceship, but a mental spaceship, not metal, but mental. Neat. So think of it. How would you do that? Now, that's not impossible. That's not impossible. That's right. That's not impossible. That is not possible, you want to say. And of course, it is possible. It is just that you are not living at that moment in time when people are doing those things. Now, if you were living back in the Stone Age and maybe in the development of the wheel, you would say, wow, this is great. We got the wheel. Now, what are we going to use the wheel for? And how are we going to do something with it? Well, now, just a short time later, in geological time is a very short time, they have a wagon on the wheel, and they have a horse pulling the wagon, and all these things. And then here it is, the 21st century. And when did horses start? Horses were back in the 1700s, 1600s, 1500s, back in the, who knows how far back horses went. They probably went back to medieval man. And that was called a horsepower, one horsepower. But now today, we still call our cars being driven by horsepower. And they're not driven by horsepower. There's no horses pulling our car. But the power of one horse was conceived to be so much energy. And that energy is conceived to be so many times by our 280 horsepower. And my gosh, I would think that that engine of that car at 280 horsepower is doing far more than 280 horses could ever do. You know, if you took the power of a horse, maybe not, but if you took the power of a horse and measured its power, and you'd have to have a relevance for measuring it, you have to relevance it against dog power, horse power to dog power, people power, or where does the power have its relationship, so and why horsepower to an engine when a horse, maybe the engine has been compared to a horse, and the engine pulls and a horse pulls, and you see who can pull the most or how much they pull, how much more does the engine pull than the horse pulls, so why not just say power? The power of the engine is whatever it is, whatever the energy is that the engine is using. But now, you see, what are we doing? We're mentally just going off on these tangents and having these wonderful journeys. And isn't that much more exciting than reading someone else's journey? Mm-hmm. And the minute you read someone else's journey, what do? Anyone want to tell me? You make it yours. That's the way it is. Now, Dorothea, Ruth Zimmerman, what is the Guinness Book of Records? If you can't think of it, I'll help you, huh?
A history of our living.
The Guinness Book of Records are records of what people have accomplished, how fast they have run, how much they have done, and what they can do, and so forth. It's the achievements of an individual in a particular thing. How many beans can you count in an hour? Isn't that wonderful? That's a Guinness Book of Records, And how high, who has jumped the highest, who has run the farthest, and those are all Guinness Book of Records. Now, what is that a precursor for in our thinking, the Guinness Book of Records? It is an indication of what someone has done and what somebody else is going to do better. It's not that that's going to be forever that way. It's what somebody else is going to do better on. Somebody else is going to count beans faster. And isn't that exciting? Now, surely, this is what libraries are. And I don't mean to belittle libraries, but libraries are records of what people have accomplished at a point, and someone else is going to go better. Now, the Galileo and Copernicus and all these other early mathematicians men who read the sky and did all the beautiful things they did in mathematics and science and so on, was just the beginning. Their equipment to record and to observe was just the beginning. Now, you watch. We'll be coming up with microscopes soon that will see beyond the seeable. beyond the seeable. It'll see beyond what can we can even conceive of seeing right now. Because we are doing things with our computers that are making us competent to do things in areas that we never dreamed we could do things before. And we'll be doing things in so magical and so wonderful ways. And so the day will come that we will just sit down and say, I'm not going to. This is how a spaceship is created out of thought, and how a spaceship is operated out of thought, and how a spaceship goes here and there by thought. And if the spaceship can do all these things by thought, and people can do all these things by thought, why not just do it without the spaceship? Because people are, what? Social. They like to travel together. They say, let's take a trip. Let's have a seminar in our spaceship, you know, and let's take our spaceship to the outer limits of outer space, of which there's no outer limits. But take your picnic basket along, because we'll be gone for lunch, you know. So enjoy yourself. But you see, this is what it's all about. How deep does our dog dig the holes in the ground? How deep do we dig in our own backyard to find the wonderful acres of diamonds that are there lying for each one of us, waiting for each one of us to unearth and reveal? And the deeper we go in our own inner self, in our own backyard, so to speak, the more we find things more precious than any diamond could ever be, more precious than any oil could ever give us or anything else. And we don't find the center core of the earth. What we're finding is the center core of our being, which is the allness, the isness, and that's pretty absolute, isn't it? So think about these things. We're digging deep into other people's wells, and we're just going to find their water. Let's dig deep into our own well and find the... How did Jesus say it?
The kingdom of God.
You will have your thirst quenched in a way that it never need be quenched again.
Okay. That's good.
The woman at the well served him water, and Jesus said, "But I have water for you." So now, this is the water that he has for us, the water that's within each one of us. And this is where we want to go, to that inner depth. You know, people look sort of cursorily at Jesus and his teachings, and they don't have any idea of the depth of what deep holes he's dug in his backyard, of what a wonderful golden retriever puppy he has working back there, helping him to dig into his own inner self.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a lovely time with some of these thoughts, and realize that the library sparkles your mind in a lot of thinking, but the thinking is what it sparkles your mind in is yours. So, dig your hole and join Rex on the next adventure of digging in the backyard.
Yeah,
I love you.
Digging.
I love you.
I love you.